This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back. That was the Channel Radio News. We've got some more guests to talk to in the second half of the show. Ollie's still with us. We've got loads of tweets and emails and lots to do. I want to say a big shout out to our sponsors. The Business Bunker Radio Show is pleased to partner with leading employment law firm Locke Associates. They will be bringing you regular news, information and help with employment law, health and well-being at work. You can find out more about Locke Associates Group by going to their website, which is www.lockassociates.co.uk, and that's Lock spelt in the Scottish way, L-O-C-H.
And said in the Scottish way.
Ha, Lock.
Loch. Fantastic salmon. Never underestimate salmon in Scotland. Charities invited to apply for free marketing support. This year has been exceptionally tough, so marketeers at Story 22 want to offer two charities the chance to participate in a Mastering Your Marketing programme, which is worth £15,000. And the Sonia Whittam, who's a regular on the Business Bunker, she's the MD of Kent-based full-service marketing agency Story 22, has said they've been closely watching the devastating effect the pandemic has had on charities across the country and have been moved and worried about the long-term consequences on the charitable sector. So they knew they wanted to do their bit to help. And they set up Story 22, and the vision was to use their skills to help causes they felt passionate about. You can find out more by going to www.story22.co.uk, and they say they'll be working closely with the winning charities to develop an effective marketing and communication strategy, identify, engage and grow their online audiences, and build a new and engaging website to position them for future success. So there you go, story22.co.uk.
Thank you. The Business Bunker is also pleased to be sponsored by Spinnerjet, the facilities management company. They offer commercial cleaning, grounds maintenance, jet washing and much, much more. If you'd like to find out more about them, you can drop them an email at info@spinnerjet.co.uk.
Yeah, is he valeting your car at the moment?
Yeah, they have been valeting my car at the moment. Not that it goes very far. But
I bet they find all sorts of little biscuit crumbs and things in the back.
No.
Well, Lucy.
No, I don't allow biscuits in my car.
Don't you?
Good grief.
Oh, I have all
good
sorts
grief.
Of things in mine.
Yeah, I bet there are.
I haven't had a little
nest of mice.
I haven't had mine valeted because of COVID for ages. I used to take it somewhere.
Very quickly, because we're kind of running out of time. My sister said to me one day, my car stinks. I've had it washed. I've had it professionally valeted. And it still smells. Oh, really? And I went to her car and I went, oh, blimey, it does. Oh, what happened in here? And it was horrible. And she had it professionally valeted and all kinds of stuff. And I couldn't get the smell away. And she then rang me up one day. She went, I found it. She said, obviously, when I've been getting the shopping one day, a little bottle of milk had fallen out of my shopping.
Oh, yeah.
And had gone underneath the seat, and it had been there 7 months. Can you imagine as well?
Well, there's no smell like milk, is there?
Yeah, yeah.
It does
gone off milk.
Very cheesy. And it's funny because you love cheese, don't you?
Exactly, but it hadn't had the rennet put to it, so it was not a good hard cheese.
You know all about cheese now.
It was a very green soft cheese. It was.
Do you know what you did there, Oliver? Except in words like rennet. He knows all about it. He's got a cheese. Book,
Stinky Bishop.
Yeah. Did you know you can listen to the Business Diary podcast here by going to the Business Diaries .podbean.com, and you can listen to the personal journeys of business owners, often funny, sad, intriguing, and always entertaining. So go to businessdiaries.podbean.com.
Fantastic. Do you know what? I think we'll catch up with our next guest.
Yeah.
It was an absolute pleasure to talk with David Carter and Tracy Wood of the Community Cupboard.
Tracy Wood what? Oh, sorry, Tracy Wood. Okay, I'm with you. So I'm in one of those
movies. The oldest ones are the best, aren't they? I used to go to school with a girl called Teresa Green.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had a gardener called Julie Barrow, and then she left, and then I had Sarah Root, and then she left, and I had Julia Tree.
They should have all got together, and they could have had a big landscaping business. Yeah. Anyway, shall we hear what Dave and Tracy had to say about the Community Cupboard, which is a food bank with a difference?
What a great idea.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker show, Tracy and David from the Community Cupboard. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. Why don't we kick off by you introducing yourselves, tell us who you are and what you do, and then we can go on to talk about the organisation itself.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having us. It's nice to be able to get to some sense of normality for 5 minutes. I am David, and I'm here with Tracy. We are two of the founders of the Community Cupboard Food Bank and Signposting Service in Northwest Kent.
Welcome, David. Thank you. Let's hear from Tracy.
Hello there. Hi. Yes, I'm Tracy. As David said, we started off the Community Cupboard last year. Launched really just before Christmas last year, the official launch in January, and then hit by a pandemic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Which, of course, has made things even worse and made things, services like yours, even more necessary than maybe it was before because, you know, people are losing their jobs, people aren't working, people are unable to pay their rent and mortgages. You know, people are struggling.
I was just going to say, absolutely. I mean, it's every demographic you can think of in some way or another has been affected by the pandemic. And unfortunately, we see the very harsh reality of it on a daily basis.
I'm sure. So why don't you kick off by give us an overview of the Community Cupboard, and then I want to explore why you started it, when you started it, how you started it, if that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, basically, the Community Cupboard was set out initially to help local families, individuals, anybody who was struggling and in need of some help.
Right.
We were very mindful of the stigma that's attached to food banks. Mm. And as such, from the onset, we wanted to do things a little bit differently. Mm. You know, we wanted people to be able to come here. In our hub building, we have, you know, tables, chairs, and we have a general rule of thumb that nobody crosses the mat without being offered a cup of tea.
Right,
or a coffee for that matter. But obviously, that's had to change significantly with the pandemic. But we just wanted somewhere where people felt the food was always going to be secondary. That was a given that the food would be there. But we wanted people to see a friendly face, have the chance to meet people, just generally do things a lot more relaxed. And we found that by doing it that way, people were a lot more open about their situation, their circumstance, which allowed us to then signpost them to other organisations, charities and you know, government bodies that we work with that would be beneficial all round.
Absolutely. So what I'm hearing here is that you've created, a pandemic notwithstanding, a community space. So it isn't just a food bank where people rock up, take some food and leave again. It's a community space that gives them an opportunity to feel part of a community, to feel included and inclusive. Yeah.
Absolutely. And that was paramount from the get-go. Mm-hmm. You know, when people turn up here, they say hello by name. You know, they let us know how their week's going, what their family's been up to, how things have been for them since we saw them last. Mm. And that makes things very, very different. It's a lot more relaxed, a lot more approachable. And, you know, it may sound a little bit cliched, but these people aren't figures. They're not statistics. They're people. And the only difference between us and them is circumstance.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. What I'd like to explore, if you don't mind, is how you started this whole project. You're based in premises somewhere. How did you do that? You know, because there's a lot of cost involved in doing something like you're doing to set up a community space. So how did it all come about? How did you get it off the ground?
I think David and I were working on another community project at the time.
Right.
I work for another company, again, out in the community. So between the two of those, we noticed that people were struggling more. We were seeing more things come up onto social media.
Mm.
And it really just started one day from me anyway, by saying, I think we need a food bank.
Yeah.
And David was very much, you know, if you're going to do it, let me know, I'll join you. And then speaking to Helen, who is one of our other trustees, who is actually the local vicar, and V, who works over at Wellfield and the community over there, the four of us got together and decided, yes, we could do this. And we started doing it out of the boots of our car.
Right, okay. Because, you've got to start somewhere. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
People needed food and we could get it, and that's how it started. Right. And then it got bigger and bigger. We started to look for premises, which we couldn't find. And then West Kingsdown Parish Council approached us and said, we've got a building that is empty at the moment, which you can use. So,
wow, okay.
Yes, so that's how we ended up here. And they've been fantastic. They've been very, very supportive and provided us with our home. We then contacted some local tradespeople that we knew and put the word out. And before we knew it, we had the whole place revamped.
Yeah.
Wow.
Everything.
Isn't that good, though? Doesn't it show you everything you need to know about local communities and why they are such a powerful force? Because when you ask people in a local community to come together, invariably they step up to the plate.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's so many companies, so many individuals. Kent County Council gave us a grant to start off with. Right. So that came in start, and that allowed us to purchase the computer we're using now, the desks, the racking, and everything that we didn't have provided by local services. I mean, we had the local plumbers.
Yeah, we had everything.
Doing all the work.
Local tradesmen of every description, yes. Didn't we? We had electrical companies supplying new lighting. We had local building company provide us with the paint. We had local tradesmen giving up their time to do everything free of charge. New kitchen.
It sounds like an episode of DIY SOS.
I was just going to say, at any point, it genuinely could have been.
That's exactly what it's like.
Nick Knowles popped round and said hello, didn't he? Okay. Yeah.
he was the only thing missing, in fairness.
But that's really what it was like. It was like a community effort like that. Yeah. And it went on for a couple of weeks. And before we knew it, everything was done, and we started operating from here with our volunteers and opening our doors to people to come in to actually have that cup of tea, get the food, and just really get to know us.
Yeah.
And we've sort of started to settle into that routine, and then it all kind of went a little bit wrong. So, it's all changed, drastically changed. But what we have done is we've really built our relationships with lots of different, obviously, services. So we work really closely now with Seven Oaks District Council, Kent County Council, with our community wardens.
Citizens Advice Bureau.
AGK.
Torchlights. Basically, it's every sector. We've been very fortunate to work with, but in fairness, one of the main reasons for that is because we are independent, there is a very different criteria. We don't work on referral systems, although we have referrals in place from local schools, doctors, you know, so there's the necessary infrastructure in play there, but people can just contact us and talk to us and, you know, just say, I need help. I personally don't believe anybody should have to justify their need for food.
Right.
And that was something that we were very clear on from the get-go. There wouldn't be a lengthy procedure. If you needed help, and we will.
Yeah, ask for it and you get it. Yeah,
exactly.
I get that. And I was going to ask you about that, about how you find the people that you're helping. And you said that with limited input, you get some referrals, but it's not a referral-based scheme. So presumably you promote yourselves and people find you, and if they need you, they come and ask for your help.
Yeah, absolutely. And by teaming up with local services, facilities, the schools, the liaison officers within the schools, the doctors, and just improving our image via social media, we've been able to get into some of the areas where we found there are large groups of people that do need help instead of the odd, you know, person here and there. People can message us via our website. People can message us on Facebook, on social media, email, or just give us a call. And because there isn't the rigmarole of jumping through hoops on certain occasions, shall we say, we found that people are a lot more open to it because it is, you know, it's a voice on the end of the phone. It's somebody saying, what do you need? How can we help? You know, how are you?
Yeah. I don't want to get into a whole rant about this, but it's one of the things that drives me nuts about big organisations of any kind, be they private sector or public sector. They tend to manage everything top down and it's all computer say this, computer say that. and there's no humanness in it. One of the things I'm hearing from you and that I really love is that you're working at a human level, yeah? That, you know, there's no procedures to fill in, there's no forms to fill in, you don't have to tick a certain set of criteria, you just have to come along and say, help.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. And that was something we were all collectively crystal clear on from the onset. We wanted to do things differently. But we wanted to create somewhere where if, say, for example, say I was in need of help, we wanted somewhere where I could go, I would want to go, I would feel open to going. And the same for all of the other trustees as well. And that, unfortunately, especially in the food bank sector, shall we say, is an incredibly rare thing. Mm. You know, there are requirements, there are certain forms and regulations you need to fill in. But we wanted to do things differently, and that's what we set out to do. So, and I think we've done that.
It was definitely the way for us, and originally where we had 2 days or two sessions a week, we're now doing 5 sessions a week on the Monday to Friday. So they're 3 sessions Monday
through Friday with different opening hours. We found that locally a lot of different food banks will open for 1 hour a week or 2 hours a week. Right. And certainly at the start of the initial lockdown, everybody geographically to us, everywhere local that would offer a food bank service closed down.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. We went the other way. We went from 2 days to 5 because we knew that the need would be there. We knew the demand would be there. Mm. And more importantly, we knew that people needed help. So it wasn't even a question. It was just something that we did. Right. And as such, because of that, we were the only option for a lot of different groups, councils, right, and things like that, which massively increased our exposure because we had people coming to us that had never done so before.
Right.
And that meant that our area changed dramatically. We used to cover probably 5 mile radius, mm-hmm, 5-6 mile radius. That went out the window immediately. and in some cases went to 25, 30 miles away.
Really?
Wow. I mean, okay, just yesterday alone, we had a referral in for a round trip of 80 miles.
Wow.
And it's purely and simply because there was no other facility available to them, and right, they were desperate for food. And if you're willing to drive 70 miles to get some food, then you clearly need it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. it's interesting, isn't it? Because not only have you managed to do what you've done, but it's all part of this pandemic and lockdown as well, which has made everything an order of magnitude harder to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you, like us in small businesses, have had to try to spend time, money and resources making your premises COVID safe.
Yes,
yeah, and put in place processes to keep it safe and secure. And that's not easy either. So, I've got a massive amount of respect for what you've achieved under what are really, really bonkers situations, to be honest. You know, who'd have thought that we'd be here a year ago, you know, looking at those kind of things on top of the things that you're having to do anyway. So
we're constantly having to change things, aren't we, to make sure that we can stay open because, we can't have people in the hub now.
Yeah.
Obviously
contactless. Everything's contactless.
Yeah. The cars, it's a bit like a drive-through sometimes almost. Cars will turn up, they beep, we go out with the boxes, put them down,
and then to a safe distance, and then they put it into their vehicles.
We get a bit of a shout across, you know, hi, how are you? Yeah, a lot of that has had to change, which is not great. But we do keep the contact with them. It's just not the same ways that we used to.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's still maintaining a personal touch, yes, albeit from distance.
Yeah, sure. Have you any idea of the number of people that have used your facility? I'm sure lots of people use it, you know, repeatedly, you know, so I understand that. But I just wondered if you had any feel for how many.
Well, to give you a rough idea, before in the infancy of us being here, we would regularly send out, I would say, between 4 to 8 food parcels on a weekly basis.
Right. Okay.
About 2 weeks into the initial first lockdown, we were sending out between 10 and 15 food parcels a day.
Wow.
So the
still going.
And still and still increasing daily. So it's been a tremendous, and to be honest, quite frankly, a terrifying increase. We regularly receive referrals on a daily basis. You know, we can have certain days where 90% of the working day is responding to phone calls, emails, you know, people who've sent in information via our website and getting back to them. So albeit we might say we're open for 2 days, 2 hours on a certain day, we're putting in 6, 7, 8 hour days purely and simply because it's playing catch up with the need that's coming forward. And it's every area, it's every walk of life. To be honest, it's terrifying. The increase that this place and other places for that matter are seeing is
truly frightening.
I think we've really seen an increase in the number of the size of the family as well, actually. Where before you might have had a single person or somebody with 2 children, we've got a hell of a lot of families with 5 or 6 children.
Right, yeah. Okay.
So that's been a massive thing.
Well, the costs go up exponentially, don't they? The more of you in a family. And of course, again, part of this is that families are locked down together.
Yes. Absolutely.
At the moment, yeah. So
and the children eat more.
Yeah, so there's nothing else to do. It's not just the kids.
You've got children that are isolating from school. They're being sent home from school. So they're at home. They're needing more food at home. Right. Like you say, they eat more.
And it's the other side of things as well. You know, if people are at home, the computers are on during the day. Yeah. You know, the television's on. The electricity bill goes through the roof. The water usage goes through the roof. It's all of those sort of things that wouldn't immediately spring to mind, but collectively make a big difference. And if, you know, say for argument's sake, some of the families have been on furlough, they've been barely making it as it is. So to have all of those resources fly up and your income go down, that's only, sadly, only going to go one way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So for you guys running the organisation, is the community company, is it a community interest company, a charity? How's it formed?
It's a registered charity.
Oh, right,
it's a registered charity, yes. Yeah. Yes, we formed the charity last year, right from the start, within a few weeks of us working out of our boots, with the help of some other people. Yes, we managed to get the charity registered, so we're all there and...
Brilliant.
Well, present and correct.
Okay.
and that's important because that means if people make financial donations, so they can give gift aid and all the other.
Yeah, and we wanted maximum transparency as well. We wanted people, if you know, say for argument's sake, somebody did make a financial donation, we want them to be able to see where their money went.
Right.
You know, it doesn't get. There's no series of chain of events. It's I've given you money. Okay, you can see from our latest social media post that we've gone out and bought 500 bags of sugar or, you know, whatever it may be.
We like to recognise, don't we, on the social media?
Absolutely.
Everyone that allows us to. Some people like to remain anonymous, but where possible, we really, really encourage them to let us take their photo or to at least mention them on our page. Because I think it's really important that the community see that it's the community that's helping to do this.
Yeah,
And without the businesses or the personal donations and everything else, we can't actually do it. So everything that comes in is donated and it then gets donated back out again.
Right.
Yeah, and the local communities, local businesses, and as Tracy mentioned earlier, you know, certain governments and councils that have helped us along the way, there is absolutely no doubt whatsoever that without the continued support and the quite frankly astonishing support we've had from the local community, local businesses, and further up as well, some of the mainstream, you know, supermarket chains and things like that.
Yeah.
There is absolutely no way we could do this. And we are genuinely astounded every single day by the generosity of the people that are involved with this place.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I said myself earlier, I think it shows you the power of communities. I'm a great communitarian. I believe in localism, and I believe in the power of doing things from the bottom up, because that's a much more human way of doing things. And what you're doing is the epitome of that. And all power to you for doing that. Thank you so much for being on the show with us. If people want to find out about a community cupboard, do you have a website, Facebook page? What's the best way to do it?
They can contact us on our website, which is www.thecommunitycupboard.co.uk. We have the Instagram, which is at the Community Cupboard. We've got our Facebook page, which is Community Cupboard 19.
Yep.
And our email address, which is communitycupboard19@gmail.com.
Fantastic. Are you on Twitter?
We are,
but if I'm brutally honest, we have no idea what the handle is.
Oh, there it is. It's the Community CU1.
There you go.
Hold on. Let me write that down, because you're going to get inundated on that. Because we Community.
So it's the Community CU1.
CU1. Okay, do check that out, because we get a lot of interaction from the show on Twitter.
Fantastic.
So you'll find a lot of people following you and supporting you on that.
That's amazing.
David, Tracy, thank you so much for joining us on the business.
No, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Keep on keeping on. Please keep in touch with us and let us know how it's going. Please keep in touch with us and let us know if you need any help, if you need us to promote anything or to put out a message or a request for anything, do let us know. But for the moment, keep on keeping on, and fantastic. Great job.
Thank you,
guys.
Thank you very much
indeed for having us. You take care.
Pleasure.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing, and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Loch Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being, and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back. What a fascinating story, the Community Cupboard.
Really good idea.
It's brilliant, isn't it? And
welcoming.
That's the whole point, isn't it? It's not a stigma to use it. It's not a rip-off to use it. It's people wanting help and getting help. And I really love that. And we've had loads of Twitter interaction about that.
And it could happen to anybody, any of us.
Yeah. Charity Buddy Martin saying, lovely story to hear, warms the heart. A local resident on our estate did something smaller scale, and our community came together. As a family, we donated food, etc. Well done. No, absolutely.
And he said he's not in the loft this week because it's too nippy.
Yeah. Tracy Ferguson was saying, I made a thing about Nick Knowles and SOS DIY. I was just thinking, actually, said, where was Nick Knowles? Fantastic community support for a service which unfortunately is so needed. Yeah, no, absolutely. So we're getting quite a bit of interaction on that story.
It still upsets me when I go to the high street and I see people sitting on the floor homeless, begging, you know, in this day and age. It struck me when we went to New York as well, a lot of homeless in the streets in New York. Yeah, a lot of mental health issues.
Talking about that and Bromwich, Tracy was saying to Martin, vulnerability and asking for help is a sign of strength.
Yeah.
In my eyes, and it absolutely is. Well done, and thank you for sharing this.
Yeah, we're all human.
It's one of the problems, especially with blokes, you know, we get very macho about things and say, I'm fine, I can survive this.
I can handle it.
But asking for help is a sign of strength. It's a sign of confidence in yourself that you can ask someone to help you.
Yeah.
And you know, you'd be amazed at how people will help you if you ask.
Mm.
They really will. So cool. What you got, Jules?
Well, Macnades, who are in Ashford and also in Faversham, mm. they have freshly locally grown Christmas trees, which are available to buy at their Faversham and Elwick Place stores. And 5% of the proceeds from all tree sales will be donated to the brilliant Pilgrim's Hospice.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow Pilgrim's Hospice as well on Twitter and pick up the tree whilst doing your essential grocery shop and help make a difference. Love that shop.
Absolutely, it's fabulous, isn't it? Mm. And right at the moment, my mate Paul Babra,
yeah,
is doing his Indian cooking
little
at McNay's on Thursdays and Fridays.
Mm.
Get along, get homemade Indian food that is to die for.
So is he there in the evenings?
Yeah, late afternoon and early evening. You know what Paul's like. He knocks out so much
I've
food.
Got pictures of us in Romney Marsh in the old studio
eating
in
the stuff that
you know after the show we ate loads, didn't we?
We did, yeah. You ate the whole box,
yeah, and you did.
I didn't touch any. I didn't get a look in.
TEDx Folkestone, they've got an event on next year, Saturday 27th of February, so it's an early bird ticket currently available. You can go to www.tedxfolkestone.com/attend. It's an online event, but they've got big plans to get creative with talk videos as well as having lots of breakout activities. And they said they're currently doing a mascot design competition for 11 to 18 year olds, and the info is also on the website.
Fantastic. Do you know what we're going to do now? It's time for the FSB news.
Oh, lovely. Keep up to date.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup, offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
We love your small independent business. Last week, the FSB launched our pre-Christmas campaign to encourage people to buy from and celebrate their local and independent businesses. The unprecedented pressure on small businesses throughout 2020 means they desperately need a boost from their local communities in the run-up to Christmas. The Love Your Small Independent Business campaign is asking local people to not only actively support their local independent businesses in Kent by using the hashtag I Love Small Business online, but also to share any images they take when shopping at small businesses in their local area. What a fantastic thing. So do that. I'm going to tell you about a number of events that are happening over the next few weeks. And at the end, I'm going to give you the link for all of them, which is the same.
Can you tell me the hashtag again? Sorry.
The hashtag is I Love Small Business.
Lovely.
Hashtag I Love Small Business. There's a business boot camp called Reboot 2021. It's a webinar taking place on Monday the 25th of January at 9:30 a.m. until 1 p.m. The event is designed to benefit entrepreneurs, the self-employed and small businesses across the UK. So it's a national FSB webinar, Business Reboot 2021, to try and get us back on track. There's an FSB webinar, Minimising Risk When Carrying Out Small-Scale Redundancies. As I said earlier, I'm going to give you the booking details for all of these things and the website at the end of this section. There's an FSB Kent webinar using LinkedIn to help to build a business pipeline for 2021. You'll like this, Jules.
Oh, what is it?
It's the big FSB Kent Christmas Jumper Zoom Networking.
Oh, yes. I do love a Christmas jumper.
10th of December.
I actually don't own one.
Go out and get one quickly.
I'm sure I can
get
one.
From a local
shop.
From a
small business, yes, yeah. Which I love.
10th of December, 10 to 11 a.m. Decorate your screen, wear your best Xmas jumper and join us. Also, join the FSB on the 16th of December for a webinar on the end of the transition period and have your questions answered by our expert panel on Brexit trade. There's FSB Maidstone Virtual Networking. Wednesday the 27th of January, 4 to 5 p.m. Join Peter Searle for relaxed networking with like-minded business owners, and everyone is welcome. And then there's an FSB Kent Women in Business Brunch on Thursday the 28th of January, 9:30 to 10:30. That's breakfast, that's not brunch, is it?
What time is it?
9:30.
Oh, it's breakfast.
It's breakfast,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Especially if you're trying not to eat too many meals and you have a late-ish breakfast.
Maybe they're going to have two meals. Maybe they're going to have breakfast and lunch.
Yeah, that would suit
me. That would be good, wouldn't it? But it's virtual anyway, so you can do what you want, really.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And wear a Christmas jumper.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not on the 28th of January, no.
Oh, no. A onesie.
That wouldn't work, yeah.
I'd get depressed if I was in a onesie,
You'd be better off with an Easter egg there, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, join us for virtual networking hosted by FSB Folkestone area host Wendy Flanagan of the Holistic Home. Promote your business and meet fellow entrepreneurs in breakout rooms. So, all of those events you can find in the same place with the booking links for each event and the details of each of those events, the timing, the dates and everything, by going to campusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. See what I did there?
I do. It's very neat, isn't it?
campusinessradio.co.uk/FSB for all of that. Also, the FSB are one of the main supporters of the Kent and Medway Business Summit, which will return for its fourth year on the 15th of January, with a clear focus on business resilience, renewal and a strategy for a return to growth. Hosted annually at the University of Kent by Kent Business School and its partners, the Federation of Small Business, the Institute of Directors and located in Kent, and the Kent and Medway Business Summit brings together some 400 businesses and policymakers to debate key themes. Expert keynote speakers will cover topics on the economy and latest development in Brexit. Workshops will deliver insights into areas including productivity, infrastructure, placemaking and skills, and offer the opportunity for businesses to have their say on developing strategy. In 2021, the summit will be hosted virtually using the exciting platform Remo, which offers unparalleled opportunities for networking and collaboration. If you'd like to find it, they've got some fantastic speakers. They're just announcing the speaker lineup now. They've already announced a couple. They've got some fantastic speakers.
Yeah.
Go check it out.
Yeah.
If you want to find out more or register for your spot on the show, the best way on the summit, the best way to do that is kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Kent Summit. kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Kent Summit.
Summit always sounds to me like they're going up to the moon or something. It sounds very, very adventurous, doesn't
Ain't
it?
Ain't no mountain high enough. Cheesy tunage.
Cheesy, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Summit.
Yeah. Applications are open.
You've mentioned cheese an awful lot on this show.
I'm reading a book on the history of cheese at the British Isles. I told you that.
What page are you on?
I'm halfway through. I'm on chapter 6. Stinky Bishop. I'm up to. I've told you.
Wait till the end.
I'm doing Cornish Yarg.
Oh, that is beautiful. Did you get it as a birthday present, perchance?
What?
This book?
No, I bought it for myself last week.
Oh, you had to buy it yourself. That's so sad.
Well, I saw it and I thought, I'm having that.
No. Yeah. Did it have, like, cheese samples in it? That would be good. Like an advent calendar.
It's a Kindle book.
Oh, no, not the same as having a proper... Can you imagine if you had, like, an advent cheese calendar?
Yeah.
Every day you'd open one.
I know, I joke about that as well, but
have you finished your FSB?
No, I've got one more thing, you interrupted.
Yeah, well, it's the cheese bit. Sorry.
Applications are open for the Kent and Medway...
Poor Oliver's wondering what on earth he's coming to. It's like he's gripping the side of the bench now.
He's waiting to see when we start.
Yeah.
Applications are open for the Kent and Medway small businesses to kickstart young people's employment. The FSB confirms it's teamed up with Adecco Working Ventures to help small firms across government's kickstart scheme. Access government's kickstart scheme. Beg your pardon.
Adecco.
Working Ventures. Yeah, yeah. FSB urges small employers to apply now to create kickstart roles from November onwards and tackle looming rise in young people's unemployment. To tackle increasing numbers of young people aged 16 to 24 struggling to find work and on universal credit, the FSB has announced a new partnership with Adecco Working Ventures. Together they will form a new national gateway and intermediary partner for the UK government's new kickstart scheme, which covers England, Scotland and Wales. The FSB will also be delivering a regional programme of webinars and other resources to encourage, inspire and help small businesses to get involved and make the most of the new scheme. Alongside local authorities, business organisations and the voluntary sector, the FSB is also calling for a diversity of intermediary providers at local level. This way, any small business wishing to create one or two roles will have a choice of good quality providers to deliver the important wraparound support service that these young people are going to need. Small firms are ready to step up and contribute jobs for people whose livelihoods are now threatened by COVID-19. The UK unemployment rate has risen to its highest level for 2 years, with official figures showing those aged 16 to 24 suffering the biggest drop in employment compared to other age groups. Small employers in England, Scotland, Wales who are keen to offer a kickstart role for a young person can now find out all about it and register for it by going to fsb.org.uk/kickstart. That's fsb.org.uk/kickstart. Do check that out. And that's the end of the FSB news.
Oh, well, I enjoyed it.
I'm glad you did.
And especially the cheese references. And also what's happening next year.
That was you that injected the cheese into it, not me.
Can you help us make Christmas special for local families who may have little or nothing under their tree this Christmas morning? The Romney Resource Centre is teaming up with local organisations and individuals in the Hythe and Romney Marsh areas to help local children this Christmas. Coronavirus has thrown up all sorts of challenges for so many this year, and we're determined, they say, to make a difference, and you can get involved. You can donate a toy. You can bring a new and unwrapped donation of toy to one of their donation points. You can send a gift directly. If you're unable to donate a physical one, you could buy a gift online and send it to the Romney Resource Centre, Unit 4 Mountfield Road, and that's T for Tiger, N for Norman, 28, 8, L for Lima, and H for Harry.
Jules has her own phonetic alphabet, which includes such things as...
W for Wallaby.
T for Pterodactyl.
And one of our listeners once, many moons ago, sent me in the proper one.
Yeah, but you didn't use it, did
you? I never read it, no. It was nice of them, yeah. You can also donate money to this Romney Resource Centre donation to justgiving.com, Hythe, S for Sugar, A for Alfie, Christmas Appeal, and write Toy Appeal in the comments. Help us to enjoy Christmas for others as well.
Athel Bray have been on.
Hello.
It's day 8 of their reverse advent calendar.
This
is a really clever idea. What they do each day is they add a foodstuff or something to a basket. And at the end of the advent period, they will have a basket full of goodies that they're going to donate to a local food bank or whatever.
No, that's lovely.
Yeah. And today, it was deodorant they added.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. I often give natural deodorants as presents, and then my kids get a bit upset and say, do they smell? But I like one without aluminium.
Well, say what? I wanted a PS5 and all I got was a
deodorant.
was a roll-on Nivea.
I must be the worst mum. I don't even know what a PS5 is.
Do you not?
What is that?
It's something you put under your arm.
Okay. Stops you smelling.
Yeah.
Whatever your business strengths, you need to shout out about them, and you can enter the Maidstone Awards and the Ashford Business Awards 2020. There is a hashtag MStone Awards 2020 and hashtag Ashford Awards 2020. It's a free entry, and you can go to businessawardskent.co.uk. I like Oliver. He's a very diligent guest. He's making notes, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. And it says, don't ever come back to this mayhem ever again. Note to self, don't accept invitations to radio shows you don't know anything about.
Go on the Scoff and Quaff show, because there's always food.
Yeah. At least there's something.
And also bring a jumper, because the studio's
Charity
freezing.
Buddy says, superb show today. Absolutely loved it. Got to go now to do the school run, but have a great week, everybody. Thank you for that.
Did you see my answer?
No.
Take care, parallel parking.
Oh, dear.
There's a Music Man project, Kent Medway, on the 13th December, so that's this Sunday at 3 p.m. It's an online Christmas concert. You can go to justgiving.com, fundraising MMP Kent Christmas Concert 2020, because the concert will be broadcast on YouTube and Facebook, and they say it's free to watch, but they'd love you to make a small contribution or donation, if you feel you could, towards the project, and they'd be very grateful.
Fabuloso. I'm just trying to make sure that we've covered as many of the tweets as we can.
It was a busy Twitter.
It's a busy, busy, tweety Twitter.
Yeah. Tracy's been saying quite a bit. I think you may have read it, but
yeah,
fantastic initiative, she said, and that was about the food banky people.
Yeah.
Who were they? Remind me.
The Community Cupboard.
Thank you. And she also...
Oh, they're still going on about Brexit on this. I'm like, go away.
Who's that on your timeline?
Yeah, just a load of people. There's some giraffe.
Yeah, well, it's happening,
looking
isn't
at
it?
Their photograph. Some giraffe's got a big worry about Brexit. Mm. Apparently, they're not going to get their grass to eat or something.
Giraffes?
Yeah, giraffe. I don't know.
I love the way you've gone northern, so giraffe.
Giraffe.
I mean, when have you ever been northern?
Yeah, it was giraffe, wasn't it?
And then you read about, she said, ha ha, Paula, she was thinking about Where's Nick Knowles. So you read that, I think.
Yeah, I did. Did you mention Michael Parks Surveyors, MPSL?
Earlier, yes.
Yeah, the great surveyors there over on the Medway City Estate in Rochester.
Yeah.
If I haven't read your tweet, sorry, it's because I couldn't find it. We have got rather a lot today. Protect yourself from scams. stay vigilant about scams which may mimic government messages as a way of appearing authentic. Search scams on gov.uk for information on how to recognise genuine HMRC contact. You can also forward suspicious emails claiming to brief from HMRC to phishing at hmrc.gov.uk. That's phishing spelt with a PH. Phishing at hmrc.gov.uk, or you can text them to 60599. That's text 60599. Access the National Cyber Security Centre's new guide on how to stay secure online and protect yourself or your business against cybercrime by searching Cyber Aware on gov.uk.
And I got followed by new Twitter people, and it is Expert. It's at XPERTDUK, and they're a community of professionals and SMEs that have been impacted by COVID-19, and they're here to rebuild the economy and lower unemployment, shaping the future. And hello to you, new followers. I don't know if they're following you yet, but I'm sure they will.
Fantastic. Just a heads up here, although this could change because they've changed it twice already, but from the 1st of March 2021, the way that VAT is collected in the construction industry is changing. Find out how your construction business will be affected and what you need to do about it now by joining a live webinar. You can ask questions using the on-screen text box. How to apply the VAT reverse charge for construction services. Find out when to apply the VAT reverse charge. How to show the reverse charge on your invoices. How your business may be affected and what to do if you make a mistake when applying the reverse charge. You can choose the time and date that you view the webinar, and the webinars are presented by HMRC. And to find out about them and to book a webinar, go to register.gotowebinar.com/17789. register.gotowebinar.com/17789. You haven't got a hope, iceberg in hell's chance of making this work. This is the most of all the bonkers schemes that the bonkers government comes up with. This has got to be the most bonkers.
Why do they keep changing everything? It's so hard for builders, construction.
The problem is as always, they don't live in the real world. Yeah, the government are trying to stop people doing cash in hand jobs. Mm. Yeah, and trying to stop
the black economy.
Yeah, they're trying to stop the black and the grey economy.
You try telling my window cleaner that.
Yeah, exactly. But and also, for people to charge VAT. Mm. But one of the reasons that builders don't do it is they don't understand. So making it 20 times as complex really is just going to force them into going, do you know what? We're not going to do it at all. Mm. Yeah, it's just it's a complete failure to understand the psychology of people in business. Yeah, that if you make something too complicated, they won't do it at all. Mm. So you're actually going to create the thing that you're trying to solve.
Well, it's a bit like the tier system at the moment, isn't it? Nobody knows how many
people. Well, it's like everything they come up with.
But we're in tier three. How many people can I meet with outside? I've forgotten on the slope. I can't have anyone in my garden.
47 or two.
But I can go to a wedding or a funeral. Or I can have a facial, but I can't sit in a restaurant. It's all very confusing.
Yeah, it's nonsense. And it's like everything they do with this, they're trying to do one thing, but they just, because they don't have to do it themselves, or if they do, it's like we were talking about earlier, Ollie, with corporates and their stupid failures with do not reply emails and stuff. Because they don't do it as a user of that service, they never see the drawback to it. You know, and it's okay, a bunch of civil servants going there, well, it's easy to work out reverse VAT, all you need is a database that does this. They don't think, hold on a minute, he's a plasterer standing in a puddle of water on a building site trying to work out whether he's got to charge you VAT before he's done the job or after he's done the job or while he's doing the job. It just doesn't work. It's nonsense. But there you go.
And I'd like to say that the 90-year-old Margaret Keenan is the first person in the UK to receive the Pfizer BioNTech vaccine.
Have you seen? Seen Matt Hancock?
No.
He burst into tears on the telly because he was so emotional about the first vaccine.
Wow.
I thought he was having the first vaccine.
Yeah, well, he's too young.
He's not going to go first.
No.
He knows what's in it.
You go first.
I did tweet him and said, please look up narcolepsy. controversy in the swine flu, which was 2015, the amount of people that sued the government for having narcolepsy after the swine flu.
Is that right?
Google it, yeah. Wow. I think it was a lady committed suicide because she was just asleep all the time, couldn't drive, couldn't shower on her own, just completely fall asleep. And a 10-year-old boy, a load, yeah.
You're starting a conspiracy theory, aren't you?
Yeah, narcolepsy, Google it. But anyway, congratulations to her. She's 19. That is lovely. Yeah. Can I have mine so I can go out?
Yeah, yeah. We've got exactly 1 minute left of the show. Have you got anything else that you need to do?
I've read all mine.
Yeah,
no.
Well, luckily I've read all mine. And this show is perfectly produced, isn't it? It smacks in right on time. What about that, eh? That's pretty special, isn't
it? Amazing. But I am freezing, so next time I'm bringing you a jumper.
Oh, okay.
Are you cold?
Not really. Anyway, I want to say we're at the end of the show.
I've got my vest on and I'm freezing.
I can't chat to you. I've got a show to finish.
Well, off air, I'm freezing.
I've got to wrap up. I want to say a massive thank you to all of the guests on this week's show. Mr. Oliver Tuffney.
And his brother.
Well, yeah, but Kevin wasn't here.
No.
Kevin was out doing driving lessons.
Doing all the work.
Yeah. Mm. So Oliver Tuffney of Rated Driving Instructors, Bronwyn Rich of This Way Up Wellbeing, and Dave and Tracy from the Community Cupboard. Thank you, all of you, for being guests on the show. Thank you for everybody that tweeted and emailed in. We'll be back with another show next week. Have a fantastic week, everybody. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.